Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life.
Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, episode 20, episode 30, Jack. Actually, we made a big number at 30, so we've survived 30 shows together, which is awesome. It's been a pretty interesting week in sports, a lot going on. I know that you have a lot to talk about. I'll let you lead the way because you are in charge. I'm out of Florida and up into Reading, Pennsylvania, my hometown, so we get the old hometown view. I should probably have done this up at the Pagoda or something, but what do you got for me today?
I just want to say real quick, I think the WEI ratings came out today or something, and I know Adam Jones, he had started his show, his 2 o'clock show there like a year ago. They rated like 20th at the 2 o'clock spot in this market. So it's good to know that at least It All Boils Down to This has more listeners than that show. So I had to start with that. But
shout out to our listeners out there. It's awesome, Jack. I mean, we got a pretty, like I said, we have a pretty steady stream of guys that are listening. We got to try to go national at some point. So we're going to have that one big thing that hits and everybody will start listening to us.
Yeah, definitely. That's how it's going to happen. Yeah. So I just wanted to start off with the Celtics. They had the big eventful week last week. I know they're on the West Coast. They play we're recording this on Monday. They play at like 10:30 tonight against Portland. Everyone's questionable. Everyone's hurt tonight. I don't know who's going to play or not. But they had the three games last week. I don't care about the Cleveland game, that 22-point loss. I mean, stuff happens. Yeah. I don't think the coach took it serious. I think he wanted them to get in that position because I don't care about the Suns game. I don't care about them beating them. That Suns team, you're not going to be playing the finals anyways. What I do care about is the Denver game, and you did see some things where it's like I was saying there's a 99% chance of them winning the finals this year. I'm down to probably 65% chance that they win the finals because there's a world out there, certainly a world out there where Denver beats them. I mean, they've lost them twice already. Jokic is by far the best player on the floor when they play. I just was very disappointed by the way they played on that. What was it, Thursday night game against?
It was a late game, and I know I did not watch it. I watched some of the highlights. We talked about it afterwards. And I just think, again, that was the game where Tatum just was crap, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jaylen Brown scored 41 points.
Yep.
So first, let's look at that angle first. When he needs to step up, the guy who takes all the crap, Jaylen Brown, has been stepping up in major situations here for them as we're going forward. So let's give him that much credit. Tatum missed that open three with 40 seconds left. They moved the ball around. It was open. I was surprised they didn't take the ball more to the rack at that point. But that's the highlights that I got to see. You're right about Jokic. I think that they need to come up with an idea that they need to who they're going to stop on that team. You know, Gordon played great, you told me, and they played at altitude, and they played, and Tatum has not played well for a week. Even in the Cleveland game, you know, he had big points the first half. He has struggled. I think they're better equipped right now to handle his struggles with Brown and Porzingis. But you know what's funny is, White and Holiday and Horford are really going to be the drivers of this team defensively and offensively. And if they play really, really well and the other guys stay healthy, they're not going to get beat by the only team I can see beating them would be Denver because they've lost them twice. You know, Milwaukee got beat by LA and, you know, Cleveland's, and that sort of thing. But I would be concerned with Denver, but doesn't mean Denver's going to come out of the West either.
Yeah, and again, Denver had the best player in the NBA. It's always going to be tough beating them. But look, the Warriors beat LeBron even before they had Durant. You can beat the best player in the NBA. Your team's better, and your players play up to their expectations. A couple more things from the Denver game. I thought Holiday and White, while they did a very good job on Murray that game, they were horrible. I don't know so much about White. Holiday was horrible on the offensive end of that game. Horrible. Tatum almost looked like the one guy that was like, the altitude was affecting him. He just looked like lazy and disinterested. And then Porzingis, the one thing like you say about Porzingis injuries, he played soft. he played really soft against Denver. He can't guard Jokic anyways, but even on the offensive end, I thought he played soft. Because they weren't calling, again, they were not calling many fouls in that game. So it was they were letting him play, and I thought he looked very soft. Al Horford, I think, only played 19 minutes in that game. That doesn't make much sense to me. Al Horford, when you're playing Jokic or big like that, and Embiid, and Giannis, he's got to play close to 30 minutes a game when you're playing those types of players. So that's just from that game. The way Tatum played when it was – that's the game that matters. I don't care what you do against the Phoenix. I don't care what you do against the Suns. It really doesn't matter any of these games. The one game that I was really looking forward to was the Denver game.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. You said that.
So it hurts.
Hey, a couple of technical issues.
Can't just be positive about them.
Your mic is rubbing against your shirt, and it's you're getting the static on there. Yeah. You don't have to hold it, but take it. There you go. That'll be better. And then the light behind you is like a – halo.
Yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. Nobody cares.
Now we get the close movie. No, but you're right about I'm still going to say the complimentary players have to play better if they're going to win it all.
I agree 100%. But that Denver game was all on Tatum. Tatum plays better, they win that game. You can't be like, oh, if Derek White or Jrue Holiday plays better. No, if Tatum plays better, they win. If Tatum plays up to what he's supposed to do, they're going to win the title. But there is a chance that he doesn't, and that's why they won't win. That's it. Honestly, that's it. I'm not even worried. Jaylen Brown doesn't disappear like he did against Miami last year. Brown's game has almost changed a little bit where he's so determined to get to the paint and get buckets like that there, where the only thing that matters right now is Tatum playing like a top five player in the league. And if he does that, they're going to win.
Right. And it's probably going to be the case no matter what. I'm just saying as the, you know, you're going to get the off night.
You can get away with Tatum. You can get away with Tatum sucking if Derek White and Jrue Holiday are going off along with Jaylen Brown. That's true. There's a world actually where they do win the title with Tatum not winning the finals MVP. But I think if they're going to win the title, Tatum's going to have to win the Eastern Conference MVP, Eastern Conference Finals MVP and the finals MVP. So don't see a world where it's not like that.
Looking at the last couple of games, it looks like he's going on an 8-man rotation. Looks like he's set on what he's set on. So,
well, no, they were playing Tillman and all that and Cornette. They'll switch. We'll see who gets.
I forgot about Cornette. I want to ask about Cornette because Cornette is like that great 10-minute player you need. He's not fast. He scores. He does that stupid jump to try to defend a three. But
it worked.
What?
It's been working. I mean,
I know. So Cornette and Horford and Hauser and Pritchard are your 9 rotation guys, correct? You would think Tillman could give you some minutes here and there, but where do you draw the line with Cornette? Is Cornette really going to be the guy who can answer like Embiid and Giannis? No. Oh, he won't
obviously
play Giannis.
Not, but he is what it is. I mean,
Julius Randle.
It is what it is. He's going to have to play. He's your third big if he's playing minutes over Tillman, which it looks like. So yeah, I don't know. He was really good in that Suns game, Cornette, like really good.
I did get to see some of the Suns games, so I was lucky enough.
That Suns team, it's like Beal's great. Durant's phenomenal. I mean, Durant's unbelievable.
Yeah,
I mean,
obviously
Booker didn't play. But, like, at least with the Celtics, like, they're not deep, but they still have, like, guys who can score and make shots, and they do go – they have 5 great starters. And Al Horford. The Suns, you get past the 3 of them, and, like, Nurkic is okay rebounding and all that.
They don't have much.
I think it was Royce O'Neal was, like, the worst player I've ever seen.
Do you know what is interesting about that game was it was close. It was never really close. It was they took like a 10-point lead midway through the second quarter, and every once in a while Phoenix would get it down to 5 or 4 or 5 or 6, and the Celtics go back up to 10. And then the next morning I read on ESPN or wherever it was, Celtics squeak by Suns. And I think they dominated the game. They scored a lot late to put it away, but they were really almost in control of the game because there was one little stretch in the third quarter where they just didn't play great defense. They gave like 6 straight points. You know, there were actually 7. There was 2 two-pointers and 3, but they controlled that game the whole. What are these people watching that I'm watching? They did not squeak by. They beat a good team on their home court, and I'm not happy with that. The other thing I said, somebody in Boston tweeted out they're 1-6 or 1-9 against teams over 600 in the last 35 games. So, what the hell is that stat? So, I don't know.
They struggled against the good teams this year. The thing, they sweep by them. I mean, if Durant scores 45 points the way he did, you're not going to blow them out.
Right.
So, like, yeah, they squeaked by and they won. Who cares? They won. It doesn't matter. That's what I got with the Celtics. It is what it is. The NBA is, meh. There is a hilarious, I don't know, there's a hilarious LeBron video from the other night.
What did he do now?
No, it was him with, it was him wishing Jeannie Buss and I think it was Kurt Rambis's wife who, like, run the Lakers. He was just, like, talking a big game to that. It's a hilarious video. It's so LeBron. It's LeBron being, I don't know how to explain it. It's just LeBron being corny and, like, people loving it. Because, like, that's how it's been since he was 16. He could say the corniest thing ever.
Right.
And he's going to get a great reaction because he's LeBron. It was just so LeBron. But it was like, happy International Women's Day. You guys are, like, the most powerful women I know. They were all crazy.
And a heart emoji. What are they?
Yeah, the NBA. Yeah. He got 40,000 points. Good for LeBron. LeBron. I'm back in on LeBron after that. Go
You're
LeBron.
Back in on LeBron after that one?
No.
That's good.
No, I want to go. So I want to go a little bit to college. So it was championship weekend in the women's game. And
yes.
Obviously that's more entertaining than the men's game. I want to start
some good stuff in the women's game.
There's one big thing we have to talk about. I just real quick, Caitlin Clark hit a big three-pointer in overtime to help them win the Big Ten tournament. I have one thing about Caitlin Clark is I've been noticing she's been getting a little bit less and less efficient. So I'm just wondering if she's going to be able to be efficient enough for them to win the title.
Probably not. And one of the things, because I'm down at your pop-up's house, He's watched the games. He makes the same observes you do. She turns the ball up too much. So that's the efficiency, right?
I don't care. The turnovers that we did this exercise the other day. It's like look at LeBron James's turnovers.
Right, we did right.
Everyone turns the ball over that a lot when you have it so much. I'm more saying the amount of shots that she's been missing lately. You look, it's like she scored like 33 points on 30 shots. It's like is that going to be good enough to beat South Carolina? Is that going to be good enough to beat, you know, LSU?
That sounds like Damian. That's a Damian Lillard line. 45.
No, Caleb Battle line.
That's true. I think they're good. I don't think they're going to win at all. Did you see the LSU South Carolina?
Yeah, so that's what I have on here. Yeah. Yeah.
That was just the kid. The brother jumps over the scores table.
That's the funniest thing I've ever seen.
And they don't even arrest him on the site. They arrest him the day later.
Yeah, what was he going to do? Beat up a woman? Like, was that his plan? First off, did you see what he did? He jumped. So this is what the funniest part about that was. He jumped on the court.
Yeah.
Right as he got on the court, he lands next to the girl in South Carolina who's like 4 inches taller than him.
Yeah.
Immediately he backs away. And he's like looking for somebody to hold him back. I don't know what his plan was jumping on the court. What was he going to do? Sock the
girl? He was defending his sister. Come on. He was defending his sister. And you know you would do that too. You'd defend your sister.
Yeah, I jump on the court and beat up a girl. Yeah, that's exactly what I do.
That's what you should do.
I wouldn't think about it. Her team can defend her. She's got teammates there. The big thing about this is the difference in like maturity levels of the two coaches and their post-game comments. Kim Mulkey was saying like she wishes like Angel Reese beat up the people and she wishes that Angel Angel Draymond Reese. She wishes that Angel Draymond Reese was like fighting people. And then Dawn Staley basically gave you more like the Mick Cronin after that Xavier fight. Like, this is unacceptable.
We don't
this
play like happen. That. Right. Well, that's why they're
Mulkey's the worst. Oh, she's the worst.
I want to go back to Dawn Staley. And again, she's a Temple guy, a woman. She didn't play there. She coached for us. But did you see the winning shot with 1.1 seconds left in the semifinal against Tennessee?
After you claimed the undefeated season, they almost lost it.
I know. Did you also see, though, they didn't have a timeout.
Who?
She called that play from the bench.
Oh, yeah.
She set everybody up on the bench, and she says afterwards, she's thinking, they're going to deem my best score. And this girl comes out and hits the bank, so they got lucky to win.
Well, they ran the Chris Jenkins play.
Right.
If Joe Mazzulla did that, he'd be crucified. Call a play for the bench, no timeout.
Well, that's what she
did. You just adjusted the camera. You could see my senior pick up there. Now we only can see.
Oh, you want to see your senior pickup? Okay, there you go. There it is.
All right. Yep. Good. Good angle. Pick
right there.
Yep.
No, I think the one thing you mentioned to me this week was why don't we do the Boyle Family Challenge and do women's basketball? And I think we should try it. But like I said, I think women's goes so much to chalk. You know, the four or five best teams are out there. And I think Caitlin Clark and the South Carolina team is good fun to watch. And, you know, LSU is a great villain to have. So
I don't know about that. I can't stand him.
The other college basketball thing, I don't know if you have this written down. Did you see your boy, Kyle Filipowski?
Oh, tripping the dude. He plays for Duke. What do you expect? And he's not my boy. I just defended him a little bit. He plays for Duke. What do you want him to do? Not be dirty?
I thought that was only under Coach K.
He's an all-American white kid that plays for Duke. It comes with the territory.
Hey, they're getting another one next year.
You're not trying.
Next year, getting Cooper Flagg.
I need him to be the biggest. He needs to be an a-hole. He doesn't seem like he is, but like I need him to be the biggest.
You go become a Dookie. That's what happens.
What do you have more on the women's? I got nothing else.
I'm done on the women's.
I had the men's. I had a couple men's stories. So the first men's story that I saw, again, everyone was thinking, oh, what a great weekend of men's. I could care less. It was Houston, like, annihilated.
Oh, destroyed.
Was that game at Houston, I'm hoping?
I don't know where it was, but they won by like 40.
That was not at Allen Fieldhouse, right?
No, I think it was Houston. They're good.
But the thing is with Houston, for like the past 10 years, I picked them to go far. They always disappoint me. So I screw Houston. Like I said, I'm picking Purdue for the heck of it.
Yeah, that's what you told me. I'll tell you something. That Houston game, they that was for the Big 12 title, and they destroyed them. And you know what? The guy is not my favorite human being that ever lived.
Samson?
The coach, Samson. But he does a great job. He's recruiting players that will play great, hard defense, and they just shut people down. They're a Final Four candidate. They could make Final Four. I wouldn't be shocked.
He's turned them into the Villanova of Texas.
That's a good way to look at it. Although he probably cheats more than Jay Wright.
Another story I saw, because I just found this funny, and he kind of acting immature, but did you see Danny Hurley walking off the court trying to, like, fight Providence fans?
He's like, I heard it was bad. Come down here.
You'll get messed up. It's like, hey, he's still got the URI ties, hating Providence.
I'll tell you, what I read about that was how everyone was really, really, really pissed off at the Providence fans acting like complete jerks.
But it's – again,
it's Providence. You're right. You're right.
What do you? It's like, dude, what do you expect? They're Providence. They went to Providence. Of course they're going to be jerk-offs.
No, this was grown men. Like, there was a grown man yelling. A grown man.
But if he's a Providence guy, you know he's a rich blah, 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 blah. You know what he is.
I know. Yeah, I'm just saying.
I found it funny. It's like, Hurley, that's that URI kick his ass. Right there.
Hurley's going to kick his ass.
I mean, he dominated Providence when he was at Rhode Island.
You know, that's what Connecticut's going to do. They're deep. They're good. They're another Final Four quality team with Purdue. I'm going to stick with my pick for Arizona, though. Although I said to Pop today, because you're the one here right there, Natalie, she goes to Arizona. She's on way in Europe. And he said, do you think they can win? I said, what's going to happen there is Caleb Love is going to screw it up for him. He's a great player, but he's enigmatic. And he'll lose a game for you because he shoots the wrong three and doesn't get the ball to the player. But they're a good basketball team, too. Are we going to hit the big story in college basketball?
The one more story we have to talk about. The Temple point shaving thing.
Temple doesn't point shave. They don't need to point there. They suck so much.
The funniest thing about it is the game that was flagged is the Memphis game. And that is, if you listen to this podcast, you know that game happened before any of the scandal came out. Yep. I noticed that day. That day, I was like, this is only a 6.5 point spread. What is Vegas doing?
I think I told you that's because it was at home. Because Temple was home.
Yeah, well, Temple's going to get killed. 6.5 points. So the fishy thing that happened was it moved to like within a four hour period before tip off, right. It moved to like 10.5 without any injuries or anything. But it's like maybe people were just taking my tip, which was clearly correct. And again, they covered a point,
7.5.
So they ended up not covering the 10.5, but they won by 7. They covered that spread by half. I just don't get the point. What is Temple? I don't understand.
I think a couple things happen here. The problem is, again, the games were flagged. The kids might have done absolutely nothing wrong. This is a legalized gambling issue in reality. The games are flagged because the lines move. The lines move because, and like the guy, I read a story today, but a guy from Vegas said, the lines move because the bookie, the casino, they really want to just even it out so they don't lose any money. So if there's a lot of money going on Memphis at 6, 4.5, 5, 6, it's going to go up to 10 if so they get more money on Temple, so they balance it out. I just think that I read the message board in Temple I've been reading, you know, who's the guy? It's got to be a guy who plays a lot. Again, and you know what? We are not that good, first of all. Although they did win on a buzzer beater. I was sitting in the plane just before the plane took off yesterday, and Heiser Miller hit the shot over this big tall guy, double pumps in the air, floats it up and swishes it for their first game winner in a while. But I don't understand how they got named. There's other teams that have been poor against the spread.
Again, it's because of the lines, even though Vegas trying to even out, the line never moves like that. It really doesn't. So I don't understand how it moved like that. And also I saw something, they covered like 2 out of 16 games.
Yeah, like against the spread,
they covered twice.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Which is funny because in my Temple lock this year, I'm 2-0, and I bet them, obviously I bet Memphis to cover the spread against them, which they did, but I also bet Temple to cover the spread one of the games, and they did it. So if you guys want betting tips, like point shaven, whatever, come to me for Temple.
Don't go
betting.
To Jack.
I know. No, but I've nailed Temple betting this year. Again, you play Sam Hoffman, the dude who looks like Karl Malone, like your 6'5" center has no ability.
He's not even 6'5".
He's horrible. That's it.
They've developed a little bit better. Yeah, they've won 12 games.
Okay, cool.
But they did beat Bloomsburg State, which is a state school in Pennsylvania.
They won 12 games, and it's not like they're playing the ACC.
That's true. But they're also not recruiting to the ACC either. They open up with Rice on Wednesday. That's the is tomorrow Wednesday? No, today's Monday. No. They open up. I don't even know my days anymore. I've been all over the world on my days. So they open up with Rice on Wednesday. They'll be all they keep asking them questions. I know what they did. They're not letting the players, there's no player availability to the media right now, which the Fisher has decided that it's not a good idea. Yeah. But on the flip side, the girls' basketball team finished tied for first.
It's like blue chips.
Yeah, it is. Except for the fact that, in the truth of it, I love my Temple Owls. Don't get me wrong. They were horrible this year, though.
Yeah.
So I can understand. I think we have an issue that has to be addressed as a society with legalized gambling is lines are going to move like that. Somebody, there's no inside information. You know, you made the point. It was 5 or 4.5. You got to jump on that and everybody jumps on it. And then because there's so much money on that 4.5, it's going to skyrocket up. So I think your point was to me, they're overvaluing the Temple reputation or the history of Temple or what people believe Temple used to be, and they are not now. So that brings the spread a little bit closer, thinking they're going to be competitive in the game. They've been competitive in some games, but against teams that are bigger and better than, they're going to get croaked. The game before they played UAB, the game that everybody got pissy about, UAB beat them by like 30 points. Now, you know, the kids are kids and they probably hear the chatter and, you know, all of a sudden your integrity is at stake and you can shell down or not. But it's a big story because it involves my university and my alma mater. But it's a big story because I think somewhere along the line, the gambling on the college level, when do we start gambling on high school? You know, legally, we can't. But it's going to cause a problem. Somewhere, gambling is going to cause a problem somewhere. And the leagues are they're making money where they don't care. But at some point, it's going to cause a problem. That's my final say on that. And listen, I'm a Temple guy through and through. I always will be. I'll never give up. I watch these games. Your mom says to me, why the hell do you watch these games? And I say to myself, sometimes I wonder why the hell I watch the games. But you know what? What happened yesterday afternoon, as I sat on the plane, he hits the shot, and I give him a little cheer in the plane. Everybody looks at me. That's why I watch the games. And you know that. We're sports guys. That's why we watch.
You should be on the no-fly list for that. You gave an audible cheer to a Temple win.
No, he hit it. I
on
saw
the plane?
Him. I saw. I was by myself in my. NXT
I don't know.
Room.
That's.
And
that's
I went.
No
and I went. I went. I went. Yes, like that. And I said, oh, "Shit, look around."
That's no fly list stuff. Honestly,
no fly list, my ass.
Oh, yeah. That's crazy. All right.
Where we were flying to? Philadelphia.
Yeah. Okay. Philadelphia. Speaking of Philadelphia, big signing today. They got. So I want to go to the NFL. They got Saquon Barkley today.
Yes, it's good. Hey, the running backs are a dime a dozen. They're moving around. Didn't Jacobs go to?
Jacobs went somewhere, and so did the kid on the Cowboys.
Green Bay. Jacobs went to Green Bay.
Yeah, and then Pollard went somewhere. He might have resigned with the Cowboys, but Pollard went somewhere. Someone did tweet out, you normally don't see running backs go like this quick in free agency. It just kind of shows, or someone said it tells that the running back class in the draft is not very good.
But again, I still think you can find Mac Jones going to Jacksonville. That's the biggest part. Oh,
that's great. I forgot about that. Mac.
Biggest part about the Patriots stories is if the truth is that Kraft wanted to trade him last year, what happened? He's going somewhere. Oh, he'll be back. I got to talk to you. The biggest part about Jack all of a sudden leaves me all alone here on the podcast. Here he comes. Here he comes. Close the door quietly, Jack. So we'll get back to Mac Jones when he sits
I down. Had to get my phone. I have to. I'm not going to say you sent this. You'll know exactly who sent this when I read it. It was a Mac Jones trade reaction. It is hilarious.
Okay. And I'll go to my Mac Jones story after you're done.
No, say it. Do your Mac
Jones. You got to fix your speaker again.
No, it's fine.
Rubbing against the thing.
Well, there's nothing I can do.
Maria would be mad at us. Okay, all what right. Do you got?
You
I think with Mac Jones, Belichick wanted to move him last year, and the Crafts didn't want him to move him. And he probably got more than a sixth-round pick.
Yeah.
So the other thing I'm reading, I have not watched the documentary, the Kraft blowjob documentary, about how great the Crafts are that they won six Super Bowls. They've trashed Belichick in that documentary.
Yeah, I have this written down that it's backfired on Kraft because they show like NFL Films is distancing themselves from the project. Like they're not happy. So yeah, this is backfired. I don't understand. It's too soon to do something like that, don't you think? Or is that the point there? If we don't do it right now, then it's going to blow over. Belichick. Yeah. I don't know.
It would have been good to do the first half. Do it now. But you know what? They're trying to make money. They're trying to rehabilitate their image, the Crafts. They're trying to get credit. They want credit that they're not getting. Brady gets credit. Belichick gets credit. The Crafts get no credit.
But they did get credit. They're owners. But they did get credit. Everyone's called Bill Kraft like the best owner for a long time. And
not anymore.
I know he's ruining that. They're ruining that with the way they've handled the Belichick thing. So that's what I don't get. They're ruining their reputation by doing
it. Were you at the Red Sox playoff game when he stumbled up the steps beside us? Were you there with me?
Robert Kraft?
Yeah, he had a little too much. He stumbled up the steps past us going up the stairs.
He's sitting there. I remember seeing John Henry. We should have freaking slapped him.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That was before he bought Liverpool.
I like the idea. I like the idea about – I like your idea about maybe it's too early, but – if you're going to do something like that, do it fair and balanced. Like the Beckham thing missed a few things, right? But I read about now those sports documentaries. You got to be fair to everybody and honest about it. Right? They have trashing Belichick. They are making it sound like he didn't know what he was doing sometimes, and they followed his lead. And now all of a sudden they're in last place for 2 years in a row. Well, of course you're going to be last place when you have Mac Jones, your quarterback, or Cam Newton. What do you expect?
The Beckham thing I thought did a very good job, and it gave
the only thing that Beckham job missed that I read was his little affair he had.
That's irrelevant to the story of that.
But they feature his wife and everything.
That's not relevant. You're saying in terms of fairness, the fairness thing would have been the fallout he had with Ferguson at Man United, and Ferguson
right
entry and got to comment and got to answer all the questions that they had for him. And same with like Capello that they had in that, who was answering questions.
Okay. I like that documentary. That was pretty good.
They all got to say their point and get to respond to all that. Does Bill get to respond to all the crap that he
gets? No, he doesn't. I'm waiting for the John Henry documentary.
All right. Here's the greatest take on Mac Jones getting traded right after he got traded. God, this is awesome. A sixth round pick. I wish it was a seventh. I want him to feel as worthless about himself as possible. A pathetic human being.
Is that Jimmy McCarthy?
Who?
On the McCarthy kid on on 98.5.
No, that was Kevin.
Kevin?
Yeah.
No, I love you, Kevin. Kevin, you know what's funny is I've been away for 3 weeks. I miss you, Kevin, baby. We'll get all these comments from you, but we'll see. He is what he is now.
Yeah, he's irrelevant. We don't need to talk about Mac Jones. The big news for me was last night Chris Jones signed with the Chiefs. 5 years, $95 million guaranteed. They had to do it. They're going to probably trade Snead now. So it makes a good point. It's like Snead, a great cornerback, guards one receiver.
Right.
Great defensive tackle, guards them all. Helps guard them all.
That's a good. That was a very good.
That's
quote.
Fine. And if they're going to sign one of them, you sign McDuffie over Snead anyways. They'll trade Snead, see what they can get from him, rebuild there. So they had to do the Chiefs. They had to bring him back.
He's only 29 years old. Did we podcast him before or after Jason Kelce retired?
I don't know. After.
So yeah, I just want to mention he retired.
Yeah, he retired. Good for him. First ballot Hall of Famer. I think
he's going to get a big job too on ESPN or something.
Yeah, they were saying was Jimmy Johnson not retiring? I thought.
I don't know. Yeah, he
could slot in on that crew right there, or like Gronk's on Fox. Get rid of Gronk and get Kelce. I love Gronk and all, but he's an idiot. He can't even speak.
Gronk and Brady should be together.
Russell Wilson of the Steelers.
Interesting. He's either going to work or not. He's either going to do okay or he's going to shit the bed. Who was the other one? There was Cousins went to the Falcons, right?
Oh my God, that he's 35 years old. He just tore his Achilles. And he got that contract
for
a mediocre quarterback, a good to mediocre quarterback, but like a guy who he's not going to win you games. He's not going to lose you games, but he's not going to win you games. He got that money at that age off an Achilles injury.
Yeah, why wouldn't you trade
him?
What
him and
does Atlanta have, though, in the draft? I forget.
I don't know why.
We need why wouldn't you just trade for Justin Fields? You're going to sign him. Wouldn't that be better?
No, they think he's better than Justin Fields.
They must. And then Baker Mayfield re-signed with Tampa. I saw
and also,
that
you don't – by the way, your point there, by signing him, you trade nothing.
That's
if you
true.
Trade for Justin Fields, you wouldn't trade the
probably
first
give him, probably
round
give him a
pick. You'd have to give him a second-round pick,
right?
Which is valuable. So there's that.
And we got Brady Zappe as our backup quarterback to Drake May. Awesome. Can't
Bailey
wait.
Bailey Zappe's – no, get rid of him. He's been liking all these tweets about Matt getting traded. He hated Matt. He's a loser too. You're worse. You're worse than Mac Jones. Like, keep your trap shut. I don't want to see him on the Patriots. They got to get rid of him too. I hate it.
Okay,
I don't like
Brady
Mac Jones.
Zappe
I hated Bailey Zappe. Bailey Zappe, not Brady Zappe. Don't give him that name. That's disrespectful of the name Brady. Okay.
Is it Bailey Zappe or Brady Zappe?
It's Bailey Zappe.
Oh, whatever. I'm Zappe brain dead.
I just want to real quick about the Premier League this weekend.
Yes, I was waiting for this one.
We played the early Saturday game. It was the most boring game of all time. We kind of stunk. We played Everton, but they stink too. We got two penalties. 1-2.
What was the final score? 3-1?
2-0.
2-0.
2-0. We got two penalties.
Everton got their and back to some really good Premier League talk. They got their penalty reduced by 4 points, right?
Yeah, they got a couple of points back. The problem is they haven't won in like 11 straight games. So
they're still covering them.
They're waffling right now. They can't score goals. They really
can't. And then Sunday was the big matchup between Liverpool and Klopp.
Wait, I'm
going to
get there.
Okay, go. And Cat Pep.
So if you've been following, we're fighting for this fifth place thing. The fourth and the fifth place team play each other. Tottenham beat Villa 4-0. There was a red card, so that's why. Sucks.
Yep.
I would like to draw, but the way things are, we're still like 8-9 points behind Villa. And we need to get fifth place, and that'll hopefully get us Champions League. Villa's got a real tough schedule, so there is some chance there. The problem is we suck so much. That we're
yeah, we do. You do.
So it's really not even worth worrying about. Then Arsenal won late.
And Kevin still thinks they suck, or Kevin like them now?
No, he's in on them now. It's freaking annoying as hell.
Kevin's now. They're not the worst team ever?
Nope. Awesome. They're great now.
Kevin's
and
great.
I've said this all year. And he said, this year sucked, blah, blah, blah. And then we get to Sunday. Man City go to Anfield, which is going to be tough. One of the toughest places to play in sports, which is Liverpool's home stadium.
Yep. Liverpool, by the way.
Salah's not playing. Trent Alexander-Arnold's not playing. Like, half their team's not playing. Liverpool outplayed them and should have won the game. And I mean, look, I hate Liverpool. I can't stand Liverpool. It was an impressive performance by Liverpool. But
and that was the last meeting between Pep, right?
With Pep and Klopp, their last meeting, this biggest, most overrated rivalry ever. First off, they like each other. There's no animosity, and one team wins all the time. That's not a rivalry.
Yeah.
At least the Red Sox and the Yankees always hated each other, and the Yankees used to win all the time. But at least they hated each other. There's no hatred. There was a little bit of talk before the game about like how Trent Alexander-Arnold for Liverpool said it means more to us because blah blah blah. We're not. It just means more to us. Which, in all honesty, it does. But at the same time, I'd trade one for four, and I any day of the week. So that's the only time we've gotten some sort of rivalry out of this. It's just they've been the two best teams. They've been going against each other. It's hard to call it a rivalry. It is.
Are we done with the Premier League?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I still think Arsenal's going to win the league. I do. I think they're in good
shape. Well, shout out to Arsenal if they win the league. Mm-hmm. But we still have 4 months left to play, right? To play into June, right?
No, I think that was match week 29. There's 8-9 games left.
Okay, good.
That's the thing, though. Like, I love that Arsenal. I mean, the atmosphere is off the charts at Anfield, that Liverpool game. The problem is with, like, the way it is, I wish those games were at the end of the year. Like, I wish they could, before the season starts, you can't predict what the league table is going to be, but you know which team's going
to
be.
Have a chance to have
schedule flex those game. At the end of the game. Yeah. So I wish that game was in May and not yesterday.
Okay, good.
That's my only thing.
So far we've covered the NBA, college basketball, boys and girls, Temple's gambling situation. We've done the Premier League. We did the NFL. What do you got next?
This is real quick. I don't want to – we'll talk about this maybe next week or in 2 weeks when it gets closer. Just two baseball things I have to say. The Giolito injury is the funniest thing ever. John Henry doesn't want to spend money. He's going to pay this guy like $45 million.
I know.
to pitch what, like 25 innings in the next 2 years?
It's just lucky. Like James Paxton to them. Again, same thing.
Except James Paxton was $10 million, not $45 million.
Right. So this is why he doesn't want to pay these guys big money, because it's a risk. Your boy Garrett Cole, we don't know, I haven't heard about him since I saw the tweet that he's got an MRI coming. He could be done for the season for the Yankees. And they give him a ton of money. You know who their next two pitchers are?
Carlos Rodon and
the weird looking dude with the mustache.
I guess it would probably be Nestor Cortez. If he has Tommy John, I would not be surprised if they went out and got Snell or Montgomery. Not Montgomery because he was there, but I wouldn't be surprised if they got Snell.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Actually trying to win that team. So
you know, the irony is it's the 11th.
Out for the year, they have no chance.
Opening day is actually the 20th. The two teams are playing in Korea. Dodgers and Padres playing in Korea. Oh, I just wanted to ask that because baseball.
Well, this is my other point. You just said the Dodgers and the Padres. Mookie Betts is playing.
That's what I was going to ask you about Mookie.
Mookie's playing shortstop for the Dodgers, and Xander's playing second base for the Padres.
World. This is crazy. But let me say this about the Dodgers. They spent $1 billion this offseason, and they have this great development system. Why don't they have a shortstop? Mookie should not be playing shortstop. It's a position that wears you down. He's not a big guy, and he's a better right fielder. He's the best right fielder in baseball. Why are you
play there every day?
I hope he doesn't.
He's not going to play there every day, and you're going, why don't they have shortstops? Again, two of the best shortstops in baseball have been on their team in the past.
But they don't have them now.
Corey Seager and Trey Turner. They just didn't make the – they just didn't
– So they decided to sign – they decided Ohtani and Yamamoto and whoever the hell else.
Freeman and Mookie.
And Freeman and all that stuff. Yeah. I'm just curious, a team – this is the – they're going to go into a chance where they want to win the World Series without a competent shortstop? One of the most important positions on the field.
What do you mean by competent? Like competent defensively?
Competent everywhere. Because defensively, they can hit a little bit.
Well, I mean, he was competent defensively, but the Red Sox won the World Series with effing Stephen Drew as their shortstop.
Well, the Red Sox won the World Series with Orlando Cabrera, Julio Lugo, Stephen Drew, and who was the shortstop? Xander.
Yeah, Xander. That doesn't jump off the page right there, those names.
Those are the four guys.
Yeah.
Poor guys. I read something about Xander.
Your argument here.
This is the other thing I wanted to bring up, because ESPN had their top 100 players for this year. How the hell is Aaron Judge always ranked so goddamn high? He never plays.
Well, he's
the second ranked. He's ranked ahead of Soto.
Where is Mike Trout ranked?
19th.
All right. Then they're starting to, I don't know, because he did hit all those home runs not too long ago. That was only two seasons.
I just don't understand. That's all. You know, I don't mind if you say Gunnar Henderson, for Christ's sakes. He's probably not going to be better this year, or whoever, you know, Jordan Lawler for all. I saw that Marcello Meyer played a game. It was yesterday. He hit a double first at bat, left field double. Mm-hmm. Now he's got a nice little swing. Because if he's healthy
again,
he's healthy. He's here next year. Next year's going to be a different world anyway, I think, here. So yeah, and then I just want to touch a little bit, get your feeling on the Bello signing and what do you think
about that? Yeah, good. You got to do stuff like that. It's good. I have no complaints about it. It's not going to hurt you if he sucks. It's not going to kill you if he's great.
And I think they can't nickel and dime Cashius, or he's not going to take anything. Cashius wants his money.
Yeah, I don't know. We've talked about Cashius. I just don't know what his number is. And again, that number for Bello is great. I'll take it.
Right. Excellent number.
If Bridge wins 31, 32, you make your decision then.
Right. That's what they should have been doing all along. But they decided they were going to be whatever, and they end up paying Chris Sale and David Price to be hurt and not even play for them. That's just going to happen. A lot of these players.
Again, you're comparing that, though, the Bello thing, and like you're comparing it to obviously Mookie. Mookie's number is so different than what Bello got. Mookie's looking
right, but
all
even
the
if you
time
give even
well
if you
over
gone
$200 million,
it's
hard to do that. It is.
If you go to Mookie after 2016, where he's really starting to play well, and say we're going to give you $25 million. We're going to give you $250 million. We're going to give you $250 million for 10 years.
He said no. He just said no.
Well, he's an idiot then.
No, he's not. I think after 20 – no, he's not. Because he won the MVP in 2018. His arbitration number by 2019 was like $30 million. So he would have been an idiot to take that deal. No. Mookie would have said no. Mookie would have said no to that. Okay. Mookie,
we can figure that out.
It was going to be $300 million.
$300 million
would have got it done. I agree with it. But it's hard to compare that to what they paid Bello, which was like $80 million.
They weren't even thinking about doing that with anybody ever.
They
bullshit you. You know, if I have a complaint about John Henry, is they bullshit me too much. It's crap. Oh, we were going to sign him. He didn't want to sign here. Oh, they have Xander lined up for $25 million for Trevor goddamn Story money. They bullshit me too much. They were never given somebody $300 million. Then they give, like you said, Jay Leto gets the money and he gets hurt. That's what's going to happen. You know, all this stuff about Justin Turner, all that other crap, who cares? They're out. You know, it'll be interesting to see. I think Cash is a guy you got to watch out for. He's a big guy, hits the ball well. He's a left-handed hitter at Fenway Park. That's all you need to know. So I will see. I like the Bellows.
Just like you said, the Red Sox didn't BS us on the Mookie thing because Mookie has confirmed that they had offered him extensions. Mookie,
yeah, but they offered him bullshit extensions.
But I'm saying you just said that they didn't even do it. They did it. They're totally different scenarios.
You're right. They're a little different.
The Red Sox. I'm defending them here. Those are totally different contracts. Totally different.
I'm still, as you can probably tell, at 62 years old, I'm still aggravated about the fact that we lost Mookie Betts and it should never have happened, ever have gotten to that point. But that's what they decided to do. So did I tell you they're doing fantasy hitting at Fenway Park in the end of March? They're on drugs. I got to send these guys a note. Season ticket holder hitting. It's going to be cold. Hey, if there's anybody out there in podcast land, if you're listening to me, if you want to go hit at Fenway Park on either the 29th or 30th of March, get a hold of me. We should give out
the bobblehead offer.
Oh, the other thing is, if you ever go to a bobblehead, I'm going to give free tickets the Red Sox on bobblehead nights as long as you get me a bobblehead. That's another offer I'll give you.
Yeah.
It's April 12th. Then there's a couple other ones that I can't make because of baseball. So, yeah, that's a good offer, Jack. Thank you for reminding me of that. But anybody who wants to go hit, tell me. I'll line you up. Go
ahead. Brian Kane. Brian Kane will take it. Actually, Brian Kane's a Yankee fan.
Brian Kane's email is yankeekane.com. So, oh, mom saw the alligator. Woo-hoo,
I'm sure he's happy with the Cole and Judge news today. All right. We've basically gone off relevant sports. I have a few things I want to talk about.
Okay. Irrelevant.
Everyone's obsessed. I think it was Saturday night. Everyone's obsessed with – it could have been Friday night. Everyone's obsessed with, like, UFC and these UFC fights.
Oh, get the hell out of here.
I could give a rat's ass with that. There is – then again, you know what? I look like an idiot by saying that because the big heavyweight fight was a UFC guy fighting the big Anthony Joshua, right, who's a big-time heavyweight guy, versus – what's it? Francis Ngannou. And they just say he put him to sleep in, like, a round in a vicious knockout. And I think Dana White annoys the hell out of me. But Dana White said it best. They asked him his, like, comments on that fight. He's like, you know my comments. This is what happens when an MMA guy fights a boxer in a boxing match. Like, this happens every time. Dana White, he got all that money and endorsed that McGregor-Mayweather fight.
Yeah.
He hates those fights because he knows it's like, my UFC guy is going to get his ass handed to him.
Right, but and that's going to happen.
What's crazy about that is that Ngannou guy fought Tyson Fury a couple months ago, and like he got cheated out of a win against him.
Yeah, I remember that.
Tyson Fury must have just not trained at all and not tried at all because Tyson Fury is the best heavyweight boxer in the world right now, and he's fighting Usyk, the Ukrainian guy, coming up in a couple months, and hopefully the winner of that faces Joshua, and that should be one of like just a great heavyweight.
It should be. Boxing's been really taken over by MMA and all. I know. UFC.
But I'm telling you, a Joshua Fury fight. Championship of the world fight, I think, would be a good fight. It's like I used to like the Fury Wilder fights were great. They did those three times.
Yeah, so what is good? What about the other thing we talked about?
That's what I was going to
get thing. Into. My favorite thing. This will be the talk of the podcast for a couple of weeks, especially as we lead up to it. And yeah, I think we probably should do a live podcast while the event is happening.
It lasts like 3 minutes.
It will not.
You're so. It's Jake Paul, Mike Tyson fight.
Jake Paul's a phony.
So about Jake Paul, at least Jake Paul, like he lost. Who beat him? Tyson Fury's half brother beat him.
Right.
His brother beat him there. But I'll give Jake Paul credit. At least he has finally he stopped trying to say he's a real fighter. He's just fighting Jake Paul. He's fighting Mike Tyson now.
Mike Tyson.
So he's given up this I'm a real fighter now, and he's just doing fights that are somewhat
not entertaining, but
they'll be good hype. And I think they're fighting at Jerry's World on Netflix.
Right.
So someone said it could get like a 9-figure viewership because it's on Netflix. It's free. I mean, why wouldn't you watch it? It'll be fun to watch. It'll be quick. I'm sure they're only doing 6, 7, 8 rounds at most. Probably 6 rounds at most.
5 if they're lucky. Right.
I'm going to say right now, Jake Paul's going to kill Mike Tyson.
And I'm saying right now, I'm taking Tyson. I love Tyson. I'm taking him.
You, you know, again, and I know you he's love 50. Mike like, Tyson. That, but that's like saying
he's again, like 4 years younger than me, so I got to like him.
I made this point.
Who, I know what your point is.
Who would win in a one-on-one right now? Michael Jordan or the worst player in the NBA?
Well, probably Jordan because – no, Jordan wouldn't win because he's fat.
No.
No, I agree with that.
The worst player in the NBA would annihilate Michael that, Jordan in a one-on-one.
I understand that.
Annihilate him.
I understand that, but in boxing, all it takes is him to hit him once.
No.
If Tyson goes out there in the first round and just pounds the crap out of him with his, and he's still got some power behind his punch. He hits him in the right spot. He's going to knock him down.
Again, like I said, he's been doing crack for 40 years.
Yeah,
like,
well, that's okay.
He's going to come out and just
he's got a tiger that was on the show there, the Hangover. Tyson hits hard, even at this age. I agree with you about the young person.
He can knock out Zach Galifianakis. Cool. He's not knocking out Jake Paul. He's not. It's not going to happen. I'm sorry.
I could knock out Zach Galifianakis.
You're making me look like an idiot by like defending Jake Paul here so much. I could care less.
I love you. I'm going with Tyson.
It's not like Jake Paul's never fought before. He's beat guys. I mean, obviously so
that
they're
fight's in MMA July, guys. Right? He's that beat fight's them. In July. So that's probably about 20 weeks out, maybe. Maybe not. Yeah. That might be our 50th show. I think maybe we can't live stream. Watch it and we can do the podcast like watching the fight and laughing. It's just a waste of time. You're right. It's just a moneymaker. And I love Tyson. And you're probably the age is so the big age difference. But I still think in boxing, he's got one advantage. If he hits him in the right spot, the guy's going down.
You won't even be awake for that fight. Let's be honest.
I probably won't.
It'll
let's
go
be
on
honest. What are you saying? I'm old? Jeez.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Well, I like that. That's good. And I will say that the old me is I remember those heavyweight. The 70s was just a phenomenal time for fights. The three Ali Frasers, the George Foreman Frazier, the Foreman Ali, you know, the Ali getting beat by Podunk Man from Leon Spinks and Larry Holmes coming in and dominating. And then in the middleweight class, I don't know if they're middleweights, you had Sugar Ray Leonard and you had Roberto Duran and you had Thomas the Hitman Hearns from Detroit and you had the and I can't remember the name from down on Brock, he's Boston guy, Hagler. It was a great time for fighting and that's sort of because it was a beating the crap out of each other, lost some favor. It'd be nice. It's nice to have good fighters to watch because it's neat to watch people hit the crap out of each other. But I'm a man from the 70s. I remember the day that Buster Douglas beat. I was working at the Brinkley's down there at the Ramada, the bouncer for the bar, and the kid came in and said, Buster Douglas just beat Mike Tyson, which was unheard of at the time. Tyson just dominated. He dominated the field for like 5 or 6 years.
The funniest thing about the 70s is so Joe Frazier is probably the second best boxer of the 70s, maybe the third behind Foreman.
Second. I'd give him second.
Foreman might have been better. Now, Joe Frazier is from Philadelphia, right?
Yes.
And the most famous boxer in Philadelphia is a fake guy.
Well, right. But
no, honestly. The big boxer from Philly is Rocky Balboa.
But Rocky's probably more famous than everybody but Muhammad Ali.
I understand, but it's just funny that it's like.
It is funny.
Joe Frazier's in the statue.
Frazier's gym was just north of Temple. I remember there was Joe Frazier's gym just north of where we're bring so Temple back in. Yeah, get killed everywhere. They probably get killed in Rhode Island, too.
Those are back in the Atlantic City days. That's when they were fighting down there, right?
Yeah, they fought down there. That was they fought down there with somebody. He should not be named. His casinos were popular. And then he went bankrupt and he decided to screw our country. But that's good for boxing. What else you got? Anything else good?
No.
No?
Yeah,
I feel like I got six heads. You know who I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, I didn't. That was very unnecessary.
I know, but I was pissed. I'm allowed to be angry. Right. So yeah, this is good. Next, we'll be on. We'll try to get around next week. I'll be back home next week. We have baseball tryouts on the 18th. All spring sports, swimming, high school start the 18th. All the high school teams are gone. We talked about it last week. We'll see what happens coming and moving forward. Big shout out, like I said, to my co-coaches, Chris Greco, who you played with, and Carl Beatrice, who you played with. Two guys who were in your class, they're now coaches at the high school, so that's a good sign. So
one of them was on the all-decade baseball team, and one of them wasn't. So
I know. That's a touchy subject. No, he was not on the starting team. He was like an honorable mention. I forget. He was a utility player.
And Chris Stokes was a better golfer than me.
Yeah, I know. Can you believe that? Hey, yeah. I was golfing this. I had some fun times. I played Palmer. I told you, I played pretty well. I drove the ball well. My irons must be terrible because they don't go far.
Yep.
No, I'll have to buy new irons with my newfound wealth through this podcast. It's getting more viewership than WEEI's Adam Jones. So we're in good shape with that. That's awesome. Other than that, your mom is calling me. I got to decline. Other than that, it's been a good show. We'll do a show next week. We probably won't be in the studio because I know we have WCTV. We have our annual meeting next week. I don't know if we can get, maybe I get you in after that. Maybe Sam will stay in there late. But it's been a good show, Jack. For Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. And for It All Boils Down to This, we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.